This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And let's begin today with abortion rights and what happens if President Trump appoints a Supreme Court justice willing to overturn the landmark decision Roe v. Wade. That could clear the way for states to outlaw abortion. So let's talk about one state in particular. This state has had a law in the book since the 19th century that criminalizes abortion, even though it's basically unenforceable because of Roe v. Wade. That state, you might be surprised to learn, is Massachusetts. So with concern that Roe v. Wade is imperiled, the state Senate has passed a bill to repeal that 173-year-old law. And Senate President Harriet Chandler led that effort and joins us now. And Senate President, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So will you tell us first about this 19th century law that is still on the books? What do we know about it?
It bans abortions. And that obviously doesn't make any sense anymore. And nobody has bothered really to strike the law. But the time has come. We did this bill in the Senate several months ago. But it was done with the understanding that you never know what's going to happen at the federal level. And we want to make sure there's nothing in our state laws that interferes with women's rights to control their own bodies. Recently, it's apparent from Trump's actions and the recent resignation of Supreme Court Justice Kennedy that perhaps in the future situation isn't so far in the future any longer. And it's time to really do something about this. And that's exactly why this bill has such urgency now.
So abortion rights advocates obviously very much in favor of this. We spoke to Rebecca Hart Holder. She's executive director of NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League. And she says this law that's still on the books that you're trying to strike from the books was actually used in 2007 to prosecute a woman. Here's what she said.
When a young woman was actually arrested for self-managing an abortion after she presented at a hospital. The prosecutor in Essex County used that law, the archaic law, against her, and ultimately the charges were dismissed, and the constitutionality of the law was never challenged.
So, Senate President Chandler, are abortion rights advocates really concerned that Massachusetts could become a state that could impose significant restrictions on abortions?
I think we never know, and we don't want that to happen. We don't want to put Massachusetts in that position. We've been a leader in this area, not a state that is in danger of imposing this antiquated law on anyone.
I guess the folks that are pushing back on this will say, why act so urgently now? I mean, President Trump still has to nominate someone. The court would have to take up the issue. Then the decision would have to be rendered. It could take many years before something like this could actually affect Massachusetts.
I would say, why not, rather than why? If we don't do it now, what are we waiting for, number one? Are we waiting for a similar situation to the one that we had that Rebecca spoke about that occurred in 2007? Do we want somebody to find themselves faced with the issue of breaking this law that we all think is ridiculous and medically makes no sense? Is that what we're waiting for? Laws that don't make sense, laws that are antiquated and obsolete, should be removed from the books. And we are trying to do just that with this bill.
All right. That's Harriet Chandler. She's president of the Massachusetts State Senate. Senate President Chandler, thank you so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Thank you.
And with a little more context on this, we're joined by reporter Joshua Miller with the Boston Globe. He's been covering the story. You can find a link to his piece in today's paper entitled State Lawmakers Aim to Ensure Abortion Remains Legal in Mass at RadioBoston.org. Joshua, thank you for coming in. It's good
Thanks
to have
for having
you.
Me.
So, as we heard, the Senate passed this bill in January by a vote of 38-0. Let me ask you first, what are the prospects in the House?
I think they're pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the House is generally considered more conservative than the state Senate, which is considered quite liberal. But I think there's a problem that if the Speaker of the House, Bob DeLeo, a Democrat of Winthrop, decides to bring it up for a vote, I'd guess that there's probably a comfortable majority there to put this law on the books, striking those old, what advocates say are archaic laws from Massachusetts statute.
Right. So, we're talking about an effort to eliminate a law from the 19th century. Why is there even a question about whether this law should be struck down or not?
Well, I think pro-life groups say this is just political theater on the part of the state Senate, on the part of NARAL, on the part of the folks who support it. They sort of frame it as a fundraising scheme because the Supreme Judicial Court, that's Massachusetts' highest court, has already interpreted the state constitution to protect abortion rights, they say. And they point to this 1981 decision that strongly suggests but does not explicitly say that the Massachusetts Constitution protects a woman's right to have an abortion. Now, that ruling was about public funding for abortion, and the majority of justices there said Massachusetts couldn't use its funding power to prevent women on Medicaid, the health program for the poor and the disabled, from accessing lawful, medically necessary abortions. But the court also said that they believe the Declaration of Rights, the Massachusetts Declaration of Rights, affords a greater degree of protection to the right asserted here, that is abortion, than does the federal constitution.
Right.
So there's some question, even if Roe v. Wade was overturned, maybe the Massachusetts constitution would protect a woman's right to choose an abortion here in Massachusetts without any change to the statute.
Interesting. But just in case, I mean, just in case this did come down to a law case, a lawsuit, the Massachusetts lawmakers would like to get this law off the books.
They say the ambiguity is dangerous. They say it's easier to just have it be super clear by taking this law off the books. Now the twist is, it is a tough vote for some folks from conservative, from heavily Catholic districts in the House, generally leaders of political bodies don't put their members through a tough vote unless they feel like they have to.
Yeah, interesting. Now, are there these kinds of laws on the books in other states? Other states that may be considered states where access to a legal abortion is very much part of the makeup of that state, but where these laws exist and could come into force should Roe v. Wade be turned over?
Sure. There are nine other states where there are unenforced bans on abortion that came into law before the Roe v. Wade decision in the early 1970s. Now, each of those states has different high court jurisprudence within their own state court system, so I'm not certain about which of them would maybe snap into law if Roe v. Wade was no longer the ruling of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
But that's certainly a concern not just in Massachusetts but in other places around the country as well.
Interesting. Why are laws like this still on the books? I mean, let's focus on Massachusetts. This, Harriet Chandler referred to this as an archaic law from the 19th century. Why is it still on the books?
It sort of was an unnecessary vote for legislators to have to take after the Roe v. Wade decision. Abortion was legal. A woman's right to choose an abortion was protected by that U.S. Supreme Court, by the U.S. Constitution precedent, and there was no reason to remove this law from the books. And also, as I said, I don't think it would have been a wise move for the leaders of either the state Senate or the state House in the 1970s or 1980s or 1990s, when those bodies were more conservative on social issues, to push the members to repeal a law that wasn't in effect, and or the repeal of such a law would not have any effect on the people of Massachusetts.
And Roe v. Wade got them off the hook, right?
It got them off the hook. And now what advocates like Senate President Chandler are saying is that may no longer be the case with the announcement of Justice Kennedy's retirement, and it's time to get rid of the ambiguity that could come.
Now, as you mentioned, some of the pushback on this is that it's unnecessary, that this is political theater. Can you imagine a scenario in which access to abortion in Massachusetts could be imperiled? I mean, is it easy to imagine that?
Well, I think we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
And we don't know who's going to be appointed to succeed Justice Kennedy. We don't know if the Senate's going to confirm them to the high court. And we don't know what the political situation will look like coming forward. It's that very ambiguity that that advocates say makes it so necessary to do this. But it's also that ambiguity that a lot of pro-life groups say this is just a bunch of baloney. This is just purely political theater.
You brought in a copy, actually, of this 19th century anti-abortion law. What did you find when you went through the fine print of this law?
It's interesting. It was put into law in 1845 by Massachusetts then Governor George Briggs, who was a Whig back when we had Whig governors, and it was one of every state actually at the time that put into some kind of abortion restriction in place. It was adjusted over time, 1860s, 1870s, and the last time it was adjusted was 1902. And so when they say archaic, I think they mean it derisively, but it is literally a very old law. And if it's struck from the books, it'll be a change a long time in coming.
All right. That's Joshua Miller, a reporter with the Boston Globe. Joshua, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
And as I mentioned, you can see a link to Joshua's writing today. State lawmakers aim to ensure abortion remains legal in Massachusetts at our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, Starbucks in the North End. It could be on the horizon, but local businesses and residents are pushing back. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.